First Peter chapter 1, and this is, we looked at the first part of the chapter a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to look at this part now. I'm going to be reading, starting at verse 13, and read through verse 25. If you'd care to stand for the reading of the word. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each person's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope in God, having purified your souls and by the obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of the grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And the Word is the good news that was preached to you. Lord, just speak to us this morning. Help us to learn of you. We ask it in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. Going to look a little bit this morning at the phrases in the call to be holy. God called his people to be holy back in the early days, back in the book of Leviticus. There's a lot about God saying, I am holy, therefore you be holy. And God laid down a lot of rules, gave people guidelines what they should do and not do. Obviously, we're under grace, so those strict laws don't apply in that we have to follow them letter by letter, but the principle is still there. In Leviticus chapter 11, God says, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, because I am holy. You must not defile yourself by any creature that crawls along the ground. We don't have to follow that list of what we can touch and not touch, or do and not do, but the principle is there. We need to be careful that we don't contaminate ourselves with unclean things, with unholy things. For us, it would be probably other things altogether, not animals. But in the New Testament, Paul writes about people having problems with food offered to idols. Should you eat it? Should you not eat it? What's right? What's wrong? And that has to be worked out on an individual basis. We have to let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us. There's some things that one person has total liberty to do and enjoy, but another person, the Holy Spirit kind of checks them and says, no, that's not for you. Leave that alone. We work out our own salvation guided by the Holy Spirit, but we have to follow the leading of the Spirit. What's right? What's wrong? We must be careful to follow God's guidance. And there's just all kinds of rules that was written out in Leviticus. In verse 19, God talks about how he loves us first and that he wants us to love others. Love is a major, major part of being holy. In verse or chapter 20 of Leviticus, it goes through all kinds of list of things to do and not do and how to behave. And frankly, when I read through these, some of it is just so far out that I can't imagine people really having to be told not to do it. But I'll let you read that for yourself and make your own choices. A lot of it had to do with sexual relationships and who with who and what with what. And in our culture today, that stuff is definitely not acceptable. So anyway, but the people needed guidance. Perhaps it was early enough in the history of humanity with God that they didn't know. I really don't understand why they had so many problems that they had to have it spelled out so much. But the principle is there. God has guidelines. He's established it through the Old Testament, through the Ten Commandments. He gives us good guidelines on what is right and what is wrong. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the first one. And the other ones go on to talk about how we treat our neighbors and our family and our friends. Jesus summed it up quite well in the New Testament. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and your neighbor as yourself. If we can follow those two guidelines, I think we'll pretty much have covered the full law of the Old Testament, the full guideline that Christ God gave. Christ fulfilled the law. He took away our need to follow the law. He provided grace. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. And grace will take us home. It's all about grace for us. But still, we need to be cautious of how we live and what we do. We need to be holy. God is calling His people to be holy. Be holy because I am holy. It's transforming us into the likeness of His Son Jesus, our Savior. God is preparing us to go to heaven. He's shaping us, He's molding us, He's preparing us so that we'll be like Him, like Jesus, that we'll fit in. That will fit in. God wants us to go to heaven, to worship Him, to be in His presence, to have fellowship. He wants the fellowship restored that was created back in the beginning, before sin. God wants to have fellowship with each of us. And we need to be holy. We need to work towards being holy. Be aware of the need to be holy. The physical work or the actual work is always done through the Holy Spirit. When I say work towards it, we need to make ourselves available to it, aware of it, desirous of it, because we physically can't do it. We don't have the ability to make ourselves good. We don't have the ability to make ourselves holy. But the Holy Spirit living within us, living through us, guiding us, directing us, and empowering us can. I think love is probably the essence of holiness. God wants us to love one another. God wants us to love Him. And if we look at Jesus, His time on earth, what He did, it was basically all driven by His great love for us, for people. He healed people. He had compassion on people. We know that through His ministry, He was tired. Long hours, big crowds that He ministered to. You know, eventually He had to get alone with God, go up on the mountain and be alone and pray. But He spent so much of His time among the people, serving the people, touching them, helping them, loving them. And He wants us to be like Him. Love God first with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our being. All that is within me must love God first. But after that, we need to let that love spread out to all that are around us. The people that we like, the people that we don't like. God wants us to love them, to show them His love, to share His love. And that's what I think really the essence of being holy like God is showing that love. We can read through Leviticus and see all the things that weren't supposed to be done, weren't supposed to be touched, all of the things that were supposed to be done, all the sacrifices. God was teaching the people how to be holy, how to be like Him, to do the right things. But it kind of boils down to what Jesus said in the New Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be holy as I am holy. Lord, we thank you so much for your great love and for your mercy, for your grace, Father. You loved us enough to die for us. And you're victorious over the grave and alive today. We believe in you, Lord Jesus. We believe. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Our closing hymn. I don't know if you want to come up here, Kathy, or from back there.